94.5 ESPN. It's a new world. Homer in the Hall of Famer. He's on assignment because Marquette is not good. Marquette is really good, and it's been a long time since. Where are they going to be seated? How high are they going to seated? They're going to make Sweet 16. How important is the conference tournament? When I need an answer to any or all of those questions, I go to, many years ago, he was nobody, but he's big now, John Gassaway. You go to ESPN.com. He's one of their NCAA basketball tournament gurus. That's my title for you, John. Is it close?
Yes, guru will suit just fine. Thank you. I appreciate that. How are you?
I'm good. You've been doing this how long? How many years now? Not just for ESPN.com, but for having information available to fans.
Yeah, you and I first started talking about, I guess that would have been maybe 17 years ago, and I've been with ESPN for about the past nine. So it's been a fun ride.
What has changed in terms of why teams win, how teams win? You've been doing it so long.
Nothing at all has changed. Zach Edey in a profile that my colleague Jeff Borzello posted just the other day, he said it better than any of us. He said, this is not a complicated sport, but we tend to overcomplicate it. It's putting the ball in the basket. The ways that people do it have changed over the years, and more or fewer threes, but it's all the same thing in the end, and we love it. It's a great time of year.
But wait, the threes, haven't they changed everything? Nobody used to shoot the threes. Then somebody decided a three is better than a two. I don't know when it started. You would know the year. But clearly that's changed the game some, or am I wrong again?
It's absolutely changed the game. And in fact, if you go onto YouTube, look at old games, or even games that aren't that old, but I mean just the 2000s, or especially the 90s, just where players were on the floor has changed. And now it's obviously much more space. There's a lot of room to operate in the paint that didn't used to be there. And the way that offenses go about what they do has changed. But again, there's still room for a guy who's 7'4", who never shoots threes, to dominate the game. The reigning national player of the year, Oscar Tshiebwe, doesn't shoot threes. So it's a mix, and everybody's always coming up with something new. It's why we keep coming back to watch.
Well, who decided that it was better to shoot threes? Or you have a fast break, you don't take the layup, you kick it out, and you get a three. And you can answer this as well. Did anybody imagine that everybody could shoot the three as well as it appears they can? Everybody, there are a few left, but there aren't many who don't take any threes.
Right. If you can shoot a ball and you're a fully formed adult, you can probably shoot a three. That doesn't mean you can shoot them well, but it's not the case that we used to think where, well, if you're over a certain height, you absolutely can't do this. And the NBA caught on pretty much exactly a decade ago, and there used to be a 1 to 2 year lag between the pro game and the college game, but it became apparent that shooting those threes was better than shooting long twos. They're not that much farther out, and they're worth 50% more. So it makes a lot of sense, and people have been doing it ever since.
Talking with John Gassaway, you go to ESPN.com. He's got all the stuff about the tournament, and now I'm just going to try to steal information so everybody can do better in the tournament. All right, let's start with Marquette. Great offensive team, the stats say. I was going to also ask you which stats to check. Everybody goes to KenPom, but now there are others as well. They rank offensive and defensive, and Marquette is, I don't know, two or three offense, and I don't know where they are defense. I'm not exactly sure what the numbers mean, so I thought you'd tell me.
Before we even get to the numbers, if I could just add, as an outside Marquette person, no dog in this hunt. Just an absolute pleasure to watch. I mean, the ball just moves like butter on a griddle, man. They just distribute it so beautifully. And it's just a tribute to Shaka Smart. And I think the people at Texas, the Longhorns, are having a great year as it happens. But they have to be watching this thinking, you know, why didn't we get some of this? You know, because it's just poetry in motion. And yes, Marquette is great on offense. The numbers bear that out in Big East play. They're far and away the most productive and efficient offense.
All right, well, hold on. You make me interrupt. People get mad when I do this. But so Shaka wasn't doing the exact same thing at Texas?
It wasn't as effective as this. Oh, I mean, right. This has just been a breakthrough year for Marquette on offense. They are one of the best units on that side of the ball in college basketball. Texas was always perfectly respectable and good, and their recruiting obviously was fantastic during Shaka's years. But I mean, this is a whole new level. And again, if I may, just aesthetically, is a different ball of wax entirely. And
can I tell you why I think it is?
Why is it?
Because I've never seen a player like Osu Iguodala, a center who can dribble the ball anywhere on the floor, but at any point in an offensive set, anybody can throw the ball to him, and he can be anywhere on the floor, and he will then find someone else to get the ball to. And I don't know that I've seen anybody else like him ever in that regard. No, I call it a little magic.
Or a point center
But the ability to pass, one, and two, dribble the ball in any situation.
Right. No, to have the hub of the
wheel. Am I correct?
So to speak. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Be able to distribute the ball anywhere it needs to go, that is just such a value added instead of, the post player who just dribbles, goes into their post move. But, I mean, somebody who's got vision and can deliver the ball, that is definitely a big part of why Marquette is what it is this year. And really look forward to seeing this group in the tournament. Should be fun.
Fun to watch. Strength offense. Now tell us more about them as a team with all the in-depth stats that you have.
The defense is fine. It's average. It's hitting the big East average. Opponents, I'm not telling Marquette fans anything they don't know. Opponents shoot very, very well against this defense, but obviously Marquette balances that out by generating a tremendous number of takeaways, far and away the highest number in the Big East. So, aesthetically pleasing on offense and exciting on defense. That little feast or famine element that is always fun to watch, and it adds up to what we've seen, a highly successful season.
Takeaways, it seems to me they're good at points off turnovers. I don't know if that factors in. To me it does, but I don't know that they're actually that good. That's just the stat that we have and see. Does it go that in depth about your turnovers or not?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a wind at the back of this offense. They come by their, quality on offense. Honestly, they're making shots from both sides of the arc, but particularly their twos. But never hurts to have some live ball turnovers and some breakaways. That's definitely a big plus.
When, because this is not what was expected given they were picked ninth in the preseason conference rankings, at what point in the season did they draw your attention?
Wisconsin is strutting around saying we won at Marquette. That is a great win on their profile, and nobody knew at that time, at that point in the season, just how valuable that would be. It was looking like a good but still normal Marquette season, I would say. And then right after the new year, they just started reeling off, all of the wins, and their only loss was in double overtime at Providence. There's no shame there. And every loss has been on the road to one of the top teams, and otherwise they've just run the table. So it's been cumulative, but it was, for me, it was early to mid-January when the record was starting to get a little gaudy, and I was watching my first couple Marquette games and seeing this offense that we've talked about where I was, they had my attention at that point.
Were they playing better, shooting better? I always like to look at things. Well, they were doing this, and then this just got a little bit better, or not one particular area.
No, I mean they've been good from the start of Big East play. on offense, and this has been a constant. And so it was ready to go. They played a tough schedule early, and maybe, you know, that's what threw us. I mean, my goodness, they played a true road game at Purdue for their third game. They played Mississippi State, which is, you know, people don't talk about the Bulldogs, but that's a good team. They're going to make the tournament. They played them on a neutral floor. These are good losses. So the record, you know, they weren't, that's the time of year where everybody's into who's the, you know, last undefeated team, and Marquette was never part of that sweepstakes, but they were good right from the start, playing a tough schedule, and once they got into Big East play, it became readily apparent.
All right, my other stat that I hear is terrible rebounding team, can't rebound a lick. I don't know how accurate that is. Where does that fit in terms of, uh-oh, watching that, tourney teams?
Yeah, they're not the best defensive rebounding team. You know, offensive rebounding is a little more of a discretionary activity, and obviously, you know, zero problem at all with this offense being good, even though Marquette is slightly below the Big East average. You know, so that's part of what people talk about with rebounding. But certainly one thing that you want to look at first is defensive rebounding. And, yeah, it's an issue. They're not the best in the Big East by any means. But, again, they work around that with a tremendous offense and with a lot of takeaways on defense. So if you want to, you know, peer into this, you know, the best season in XX years, I don't know, since D-Wade, and find something that's substandard, the defensive rebounding is not the best. But obviously, the sum total of everything that Marquette is doing is working out fantastic.
Talking with John Gassaway, the guru for men's college basketball, the NCAA tournament for ESPN.com. Round two, next. 94.5 ESPN, Homer in the Hall of Famer. He is on assignment talking with John Gassaway. Get all his stuff. You go to ESPN.com, men's college basketball, and he's got articles all over the place. Before the break, you mentioned maybe Marquette's best team since Dwayne Wade. I don't know if you just threw that in, because the last Marquette team that did well, I think back a decade ago, they won Big East, and then they made it to the Elite Eight.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I didn't mean to pass lightly over the Buzz era. Those were good teams, and that was back in the old format Big East. So full salute. This is the best team, best Marquette team in a while. We'll leave it at that. And they're really good.
Oh, no, that's good. I'm not trying to create a problem. I'm just trying to make sure I have your information accurate, so that if anybody here says, did you hear what Gassaway said with Homer and Tony? Man. Because I don't know, it's all such a big surprise. Nothing you tell me, other than the UConn game, all the games they lost were incredibly close. That's amazing as well.
And see, the story is yet to be written. I mean, we know how good this team is. The numbers say how good they've been during the regular season. But the brutal fact of the matter is, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now, much less 5 or 10 years from now, nobody will care about those. It's what you do in the tournament. And, you know, Marquette will have the opportunity to write its name, you know, on that page. But we have to wait and see what happens. In the meantime, they've definitely got the potential and the ability.
People get on me because I say exactly that. A conference championship is nice. Nobody remembers. You make the Sweet 16, that's the way that you get, other than if you maybe have a huge historic upset, that's the way you get it in bold, the start of in bold. But
no, that is absolutely correct. You know, the rhythms of the NCAA tournaments are a venerable thing, and it's just the truth that after that first wild, hectic weekend, you know, 48 games, three out of every four teams left on the wayside. If you are one of the 16 that's standing, then that whole week there, that is a celebration of all those 16 teams. And, you know, obviously teams can be, you know, disappointed after that. But for those of us who don't get to root for teams that win the national championship all the time, making the Sweet 16 is pretty important. I absolutely agree with you.
And as far as the seedings, it's my belief that the conference tournaments don't get maybe what people expect. Understandably to me, because what you do like Marquette over a 20-game conference season should be significantly more important than what you do in a tournament over 3 days. Not saying there's no value, but is it best to say it changes seedings less than people think or might think?
No, that is correct. We want to believe, you know, when we watch our team or when we watch teams in our conference that we're interested in, and they win or lose in the conference tournament, and it's just 2 or 3 days before Selection Sunday. Just intuitively, we want to say, okay, they just went up a seed line or they went down a seed line. But, you know, the committee has to look at the whole map across the country. And speaking of buzz, ask him about last year, you know, Texas A&M.
Would they beat three-seeded teams but
yeah,
lost the championship?
Incredible run in the SEC tournament, lost in the title game to Tennessee. And if you looked at their body of work, including those conference tournament games, they should have been in the tournament. It's just, frankly, and Buzz said so in a rather infamous press conference, but I think it was just too late in the day for the committee to look at and acknowledge. So it's definitely best to make your body of work before you get to the conference tournament. I would agree with that.
And it would appear it's not done, but Marquette is likely to win the Big East. And to me, so it's 17-3, 16-4, whatever. I don't know how you can, even if they lost their first game in the conference tourney, I don't know how you could be worse than a 3 or 4.
Right. No, I agree. And another thing that I think is possibly that we naturally want to do that I'm not sure has real, you know, payoff value is to get too wrapped up in whether, for instance, Marquette is a 2 or a 3. You know, there's not much difference in being a 2 or a 3. There's some difference between being a 3 or a 4 because then you meet a top seed. But if you're in that 2-3 range, hey, it all depends on, you know, where you're bracketed and the opponents that you draw. And again, just celebrate a great year and an amazingly high seed, and don't get too, you know, I mean, there are exceptions where teams are seeded and it is a significant surprise. But if it's a line off, don't worry about it too much. You can play your way out of a surprising seed as long as you get there.
Well, Marquette's due for a break. They are, of course, historically the most unlucky fifth seed ever when they face Murray State, a 12 seed, with Ja Morant. And last year, they get North Carolina, who then goes to the championship game. And the last time before that, they get South Carolina, and they make the Final Four.
Yeah, I think those first two are more legitimate crimes. I don't know. Whoa, I was just looking at that recently. People forget South Carolina made the Final Four.
I know.
Yeah, that was a
you beat magical, Marquette, and you're expecting something great.
No, yeah, that was wild. But yeah, the Ja Morant thing kind of reminds me of the year Wisconsin drew a team called Davis. Oh, they've got this guy named Steph Curry.
That's
you
right.
Know? It happens.
No, I'll never forget that game. I couldn't believe Ja Morant was that good. I couldn't believe, and he was and is.
Yeah, no, and the draft pick that was used on him reflected that, and the rest is history. No, it was no mistake that was a good run by his team.
All right, let's get to the stats. I don't know, do you have your stats? Most everybody says KenPom. Now there's somebody else they use. I can't remember the guy's name, Kyle. And I don't know what. I'm a busy guy. I only got so much time. I want to know the most important stats relative to what that seems to mean in the NCAA tournament.
I like KenPom does a great job tracking every possession. I do that just on my own for my use.
You got to pay extra for that, though, from him, don't you? Then you got to pony up a little extra. Yeah, okay. It's worth it.
No,
all right.
Yeah, it's money well spent.
Right,
there's a plug for Ken. I do that just in conference play for the top third, roughly, of Division I, so I can see what's going on my laptop. But, yeah, counting a few 1,000 possessions is a good way to see how strong teams are.
Well, but do you have to have a good offense? Is that more important than a good defense? Has the game changed? Because I looked like, to me, if you're going defense, Houston's going to be national champ. They just... They're old school and tough, and they've been close before. But again, if my theory's wrong, then you can set me straight.
Well, Houston, I'm not sure they're a good test of that theory, though, because you're right. Their defense is great, but their offense is really good, too. It's just it can be hard to capture that with your eyes in real time because it's not like they're graceful and elegant like Marquette. They are absolute beasts pounding the offensive glass. And a missed shot for Houston is like, 3 yards on first down. They're just getting started. And let's have fun now. And it works. And they take excellent care of the ball as well. And that's another thing that we often gloss over in real time. So they get a tremendous number of attempts. And you could do worse. You know, we haven't seen the pairings. We're a long way out here. Yeah. We don't know. But you could do worse than say Houston is one of the teams, that I am really having on my short list to win it all because they've had some bad breaks in the past with injuries, with bracketing. But it seems to be coming all together this year for the Cougars.
So what were you saying? Shot attempts or whenever you say anything, I always like to go in depth, get that little inside scoop. So they're good because they get a lot of shots or what? Mm-hmm. Where does attempt?
It's not complicated. They don't commit turnovers.
Okay.
And then when they shoot, and this has been true of Sampson going back to his Oklahoma years and possibly Montana, I don't know, but I didn't watch those teams. But he believes in going in waves for the offensive rebound. A lot of coaches are skittish about that, and they worry about
transition
defense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That has never been a problem for Kelvin Sampson. And the other thing I'd add is a lot of times coaches say for years North Carolina was the best team in terms of offensive rebounding. And the rebuttal from coaches was, well, sure, if I could get a flock of McDonald's All-Americans every year like Roy Williams, I could do it too. Houston, Kelvin Sampson, he gets, working guys. Now, lately, the recruiting has improved because they're so good. But for years and years, these were not NBA bound players by any means, and it still works. So I am interested to see if people imitate this model, but so far it's been working for Kelvin Sampson.
I don't know if it's accurate, but the premise is there's no great team this year. More teams going to have a chance to win the NCAA tourney than in the past whatever number of years. And again, before I'm going to say that, I'm asking you.
We always say that in any year where there's not an undefeated team or close to it. Houston is pretty close to it. They're 27-2, but it's the fact that both of the games they lost were at home. One was at Temple. What in the world is that? And the fact that they play in the American next year, they'll be playing in the Big 12. So people aren't ready to buy there. I get that. It's natural to be hesitant. So we say no great teams, but if somebody goes through the NCAA tournament, one of the one seeds, and they just have no problem with any of their six opponents, we will say that's a great team, and they will be remembered that way. So, again, this is yet to be determined, and that's why we have March Madness, and that's why we love it.
Well, who else other than Houston has shown signs in some way, wins, losses, turnover, whatever the stat you want to go, that shows you the potential to be something special?
Obviously, Alabama has had stretches where they're blowing everybody away. Team that fewer people are talking about because I think fewer of the games are seen is UCLA. They've been consistently tough. And, guys like Tiger Campbell and Jaime Jaquez, this is not their first rodeo by any means. And then to choose a more prominent team, it does look like maybe Kansas has turned a corner, and it's rather remarkable because of all of the production they lost from last year's national championship team. But Jalen Wilson, Grady Dick, and then two defenders, the quality of McCullough and Harris, that is a really good nucleus to have, and they're on a good run. So those are some of the names that are suggesting themselves here as February draws to a close.
Again, talking with the tournament NCAA men's basketball guru himself, John Gassaway. You go to ESPN.com. He's got a ton of articles. And now to the conference. Oh, this conference is so good, and that means the teams in that conference are going to do well in the NCAA tournament. I would guess the Big 12 is getting that attention, but not only this year, but in general, if that's made up and or just sounds good or might be accurate.
No, it's not accurate. The Pac-12 had an amazing tournament a couple of years ago, and they were just normal during the year. The Big Ten is notorious, rightfully so, for being strong during the regular season on paper, and then crashing and burning.
And hold on, stop there. Why is that? People get mad at me. I'm like, it's horrible given the tradition. They haven't won a title in 20 some years, and aside from that, they've disappointed. And I say, I'll have to ask John.
No, there's, you know, for a while there, as recently as about 10, 15 years ago, you could wonder aloud, and I did, if the style of play in the conference wasn't just too, you know, similar across the whole league, and it was doing teams a disservice. And then they saw the rest of the country in the NCAA tournament. Like, what is this? You know, pressing defense, up tempo. You know, what's this? That's less true than it used to be, though. And the league is bigger than it used to be, and there's more different styles. And particularly with the disastrous 2021 tournament, I think you have to look at, you know, luck of the draw, and if they keep getting good seeds as good as they were 2 years ago, then at some point the league will break through. Michigan had no problem that year making a nice deep run, and you might see more teams like that. But they've been snake bit, no doubt about it, and until they change that, people are right to talk about the league that way.
And lastly, anything different or any team that's odd or whatever you want to throw in additional a thought about this year in college basketball?
Yeah, if you haven't already, watch Penn State. They are a very unusual team on offense. All they have are first shots. That's all they do. They never commit turnovers, and they intentionally don't try for offensive rebounds. So they just come down, they try a shot. If it goes in, great. If it misses, they'll get you next time. And it's a very interesting way to play.
Well, interesting is nice. I think there's got to be other words. Crazy doesn't make any sense. Why hasn't anybody else tried it? What evolves in games as a result of this?
It works for them. Their turnover rate is so low, and they shoot so well that they can do without offensive rebounds. Now, you can say, my gosh, if you were just average, you know, then you'd have the best offense ever, you know, average offensive rebounding. But Micah Shrewsbury, he comes by this honestly. You know, he was an assistant with some pretty big names like Brad Stevens and Matt Painter, and it works for him. We'll see if the Nittany Lions can make it into the NCAA tournament. It's going to be close.
All right, John Gassaway, ESPN.com. Of all you've written, what do you think people should make sure to read, or what do you have upcoming that you think is worthy of some attention?
Stop by ESPN.com, and we'll break down the entire bubble for you at Bubble Watch. Marquette, obviously, has been a lock from the start, so not so much about them, but about the teams that Marquette might be facing. You'll see them all at Bubble Watch.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Homer.
Now he's got a new name, the guru, John Gassaway, ESPN.com. I love it. Next.